Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Friday the 13th of December. Coming up today, we'll have the details of drivers who have been stuck in a Canterbury car park for up to an hour because of problems with the ANPR system. We'll also hear from the Gillingham boss who's hoping to make it two League Two wins in a row this weekend. But first, taking a look at our top story today, the sister of a man who went missing after a night out in Maidstone has warned of the dangers of open water after drinking on the 10th anniversary of his disappearance. Pat Lamb from Greenhithe had spent a night with friends and was last seen heading towards Fair Meadow near the River Medway. Reporter Claire McQuethy has been chatting to Zoe Lamb.
The day after he went missing, he was due to pick me up from a gig in London. So I was actually staying with Pat at the time. I'd come home from university and I was staying at his. And so he was due to pick me up from a gig in London, and he was living just outside of London. And I remember my dad calling me and saying Pat hasn't come home, or he didn't turn up to his hotel, and that everyone was a bit worried and they hadn't heard from him and he wasn't answering his phone, and things like that. So it kind of snowballed from there, really, and just escalated. And yeah, I wasn't expecting it to go on for a month, but unfortunately it did. It went over the Christmas period and went over New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, and 10 days into January was when we found out the news that, yeah, he had died, unfortunately.
And I think you mentioned that when you were actually out looking, because I know you yourself were out there kind of on the ground quite a lot during this time.
Yeah.
Other people obviously are celebrating Christmas. It must have been really difficult in that sense.
Yes. Yeah, it was awful. It was really hard. I don't think our presents were opened that Christmas. My mum just waited at home and we were kind of out. A few of my brothers had young children, so they're, you know, they could only do so much because they had to make sure that they were keeping the family dynamic for their own families normal. But yeah, for it to happen over the Christmas period where everyone's out celebrating and, you know, we're in the streets kind of looking and putting up missing posters and there's Christmas songs. And yeah, it's really hard to get your head around when you're listening to Christmas songs talking about how happy and joyous and great the time is. And you're kind of in this period of what's going on? Where's my brother? Where are the answers to where he is? So.
And obviously this is a time of year where a lot of people are going to be going out to Christmas parties, maybe having an extra drink. And at this time of year, is there a kind of a message that you want to get out there about kind of how to keep yourself safe when you're enjoying yourself?
Yeah, I think this is the big question, really. And it's something that I've thought about considerably as a young person myself. You know, this goes out to people of all ages, but I do think that there is a focus on young people kind of feeling like they're invincible. You know, there's almost an element of your friends as a group of who you're going out with just looking out for each other and taking, you know, just keeping an eye on your friends and stuff. But as I said, it's also your friends can only do so much, and it's about personal accountability. It's about understanding your drink limits. It's about understanding if you're staying out for the night to pace yourself. But I think for me, again, I think that could potentially be ignored by young people as well, because I think people think, I'll be fine, it's not a problem. And so for me, I think the point that I would like to try and raise awareness on is just the danger of open water when you're drinking. You're not invincible, and so much went wrong so quickly for my brother. You know, he took one turning too short that took him down to the river path. Unfortunately for my brother's case, the water that night, being Christmas and winter, was at the same level as the river path and it wasn't lit. So unfortunately he didn't stand a chance. And that's how quickly things can change. You know, if he didn't take that turning and he walked over the bridge to the hotel, he would probably still be here today. And so it's about taking into consideration, are you fit to get home on your own, or do you need to get a taxi? And it's about your friends looking out for you and thinking, let's get him in a taxi or get her in a taxi. It's just not worth it. The absolute trauma and heartache that myself and his loved ones and family have had to go through for the last 10 years is just awful, and I don't want that to happen to another family, essentially.
Pat's body was discovered at Cuxton Marina a month later. A safe and dry campaign will run throughout the festive season, urging men in particular to keep an eye on each other.
Kent Online News.
Investigators have released a picture of a man they're hunting after a series of attempted break-ins in Broadstairs. There have been three separate reports of a man acting suspiciously in Ranley Grove, Grant Close and Dane Court Gardens yesterday. Residents are being advised to make sure their homes are secure. We've shared the CCTV images at Kent Online. Police have also released new images of a man they're hunting following a string of mobile phone thefts in Swale and Medway. Three phones were taken from a hairdresser in Sittingbourne when staff were distracted. There was a similar report from another hairdresser in Stroud. We've shared a picture of the man police would like to speak to at Kent Online. A dog with rotten teeth and fleas has been rescued after being dumped in a box near Sittingbourne. She was found abandoned on Breach Lane in Upchurch yesterday. The eight-year-old has been taken in by Happy Endings Rescue in Faversham, where she'll receive vet treatment. Head to Kent Online to see a video of a huge fire near Dover. Several Christmas trees are thought to have caught alight at a site in St Margaret's at Cliff yesterday evening. Kent Fire and Rescue have confirmed the inferno started in a shed and spread to the nearby trees. No injuries were reported, and the cause is believed to have started from a faulty electrical socket. Drivers say they were left stranded for up to an hour at a Canterbury car park because of problems with the barrier. Issues with the ANPR system last Sunday afternoon meant motorists couldn't exit the Watling Street site, leaving traffic to back up behind them. Council say staff were on site to help but have apologised to anyone who wasn't on their way as quickly as they wanted to be.
Kent Online News.
Ukrainian refugees living in Kent are asking the government for clarity, with visas granted at the start of the war about to expire. Hundreds of refugees are not able to rent a property or find work because they have less than 12 months left on their permits, which end in the spring. I spoke to Irina, who came to the UK on the Homes for Ukraine scheme.
What we would like to get from maybe Home Office or local authorities is understanding what will be with us when our visas will be ended. As we are aware, Home Office promises to extend our visa to creating a new Ukrainian permit extension visa. And this is really good. We are really grateful for that. But what we would like to know, to get more information, how it will be, how fast our application will be approved. And for people who are in privately rented accommodations now, it's very important to understand that local landlords or landladies differently understand that we still have right to rent. We still have right to work, because we can understand local people, because they need to secure their properties. They need to secure their businesses. It's definitely understandable, but we are happy to work. We are happy to pay taxes. We are happy to be helpful for this society, for this community. And only one thing for now, which cannot give us such opportunity, is absence of understanding of our situation. And it's difficult when you cannot plan your life.
I also spoke to Mike Martin, who's the MP for Tunbridge Wells.
When the illegal invasion of Ukraine happened, lots of Ukrainians came to the UK and were welcomed with open arms by my constituents, amongst others, in Tunbridge Wells. And they came with a visa that enabled them to work and to rent houses and all the rest of it, so they could become part of our community for however long they stay here for. Now, these visas get extended by a year at a time. And at the moment, all the Ukrainians in the UK are facing a cliff edge because their visas are going to run out in the spring of next year. Obviously, the invasion was in February, and yet they are not able to, say, rent a house or get a job at the moment, because lots of prospective employers or landlords look at their residency and say, well, we can't rent you a house or give you a job because it looks like your visa is going to run out in 4 months. And the government has not given any clarity at all about whether they're going to extend that scheme or what it's going to look like. Now, we assume that they are. There's no noises from the government that they're not, you know, happy to have our Ukrainian guests stay with us whilst this, you know, horrible war is going on. But it seems to me an administrative problem, but it would be great if the government could just give clarity to the hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians and well over a couple of thousand in Tunbridge Wells. It'd be great if they could give clarity to all those people.
As you mentioned, at the moment, I think it's just a kind of a vague deadline of sort of 2020, spring 2025. That's not particularly helpful for people that are trying to get their lives in order.
Yeah, and it means that they'll have a new visa in their hand by the time their old visa runs out. But so many other things are contingent on having a visa, whether you're able to apply for a job, whether you're able to sign a rental contract. I mean, this is actually the law. You know, you can't sign a rental contract unless you have a right to live in the UK for the period of the rental contract. And of course, we want our Ukrainian guests to be working and benefiting and paying taxes and all the rest of it. So it is a bit of a self-inflicted wound, if you like, from the government. And I don't think it's malicious. I just think it's, you know, they're a new government. It's taken them quite a while to get up to speed. They're being knocked about a little bit by events. And it's just one of those things they just need to grip and get on with.
From the people that you've been speaking to, is this affecting mostly people that are making new applications for new rentals and new jobs? Or is it affecting people that already have jobs and rentals that look like they may have to lose their job and their house?
It's actually, so often when the Ukrainian guests came here, they might have gone into someone's house for the first 6 months, because you remember so many people generously opened up their spare rooms. And then what happened is once they sort of got settled and the kids were in the primary school and they were able to get a job, and then they were able to move into rented accommodation, and which, if you think, a lot of those rental contracts are coming to an end right now. So this period now, and they're not able to form new rental contracts, and they're not able to change jobs either, because they can't change jobs, so they're sort of stuck in the job that they're in, or if they don't have a job, they're not able to get a new one. So it's all those sorts of problems that this lack of clarity is creating.
The Home Office says Ukrainians will be able to apply to remain in the UK early next year, and they'll be granted an additional 18-month stay. Figures seen by Kent Online show a backlog of more than 3,000 criminal cases waiting to be heard at Crown Courts in Kent. Numbers at Maidstone are around four times higher than 5 years ago, while Canterbury's have more than doubled. The government's ordered a national review into the court system. Kent winemaker Chapel Down has appointed a new chief executive. James Pennyfather will take over from Andrew Carter, with the company's CFO also leaving. The vineyard, based in Tenterden, has recently reported a 98% drop in pre-tax profits. A Whitstable mum whose 11-year-old son died from cancer has lost her own battle with the same disease. Kate Westwick trekked to Everest Base Camp to raise money after Reese was diagnosed with neuroblastoma. He died in 2014. The 51-year-old was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer earlier this year and passed away last week. She leaves behind three children who say she'll never be forgotten.
Kent Online News.
There'll be a ceremony in Swale today to open the East Kent Baby Memorial Garden for families who have been touched by pregnancy and baby loss. The garden in King George Playingfield also includes terracotta tiles with a name and significant date. There'll be a ribbon-cutting ceremony this afternoon. A scaled-down version of the Dickensian Christmas Festival is going to be taking place in Rochester this weekend. The actual event had to be cancelled because of Storm Dara, with traders said to have lost thousands as visitors stayed away. While there won't be a parade or carol concert, some characters will be in the high street. Markets are also taking place in the Blue Boar car park and Castle Gardens. An annual festival which sees tractors decked out in Christmas decorations being driven through Kent villages is back for a third year. The Lights It Up charity event will make its way through the Weald on December 22nd. They'll be raising money for the air ambulance. There are plans to open new paddle courts in Canterbury. The sport, which is a cross between tennis and squash, has been growing in popularity. Three courts could be built at the King's School Recreation Centre. And the Wanted star Max George says he'll be spending Christmas in hospital after doctors discovered some issues with his heart. The 36-year-old singer says he's waiting for more tests. His partner Maisie Smith is currently in Beauty and the Beast at the Marlowe Theatre Panto in Canterbury.
Kent Online News.
And now, with a look at what's on around Kent this weekend, it's Sam Laurie.
There's only a couple of weeks left until Christmas, but that means there's still time to squeeze in a few more festive activities. That is, if another storm doesn't come in and ruin all the fun. You might have heard that due to weather conditions, last weekend's Dickensian Festival and Christmas Market in Rochester was cancelled. While it looks like the full festival sadly won't return this year, the good news is that the market is back up and running this weekend. And there will still be a nod to Charles Dickens and a Victorian Christmas, with roaming characters and street performers taking to the town centre. And the market's opening hours have been extended, so you can make the most of its final weekend. Another place that got hit hard by last weekend's storm was Folkestone's Harbour Arm, but not to worry because the festive marketplace is back in full swing over the next couple of days. On Saturday, you can catch an outdoor screening of Home Alone 2 at the Harbour, and on Sunday, there'll be live music from retro group Miss Holiday and the Swing Tones. And on the big screen, you can watch How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Also, if you fancy a brisk winter trip to the coast this weekend, you can visit Dreamland's Christmas World, which opens on Saturday. The festive attraction includes a Santa's Grotto, indoor snowball fights, electric sleigh rides, and huts selling seasonal food and drink. Also opening this weekend are some of Kent's fantastic pantos. You can see The Wonderful Wizard of Oz at Lees Cliff Hall in Folkestone, and Snow White at the E.M. Forster Theatre in Tunbridge, both of which open tonight. And on Sunday, Sleeping Beauty will be in two places at once. The Orchard West Theatre in Dartford is welcoming visitors to its production, starring Britain's Got Talent winner Sydney Christmas, while the Trinity Theatre in Tunbridge Wells is putting on its own version of the classic fairy tale. So whatever you get up to this weekend, I hope you have a fabulously festive couple of days, and fingers crossed the weather behaves itself this time.
Thanks, Sam.
Kent Online Sport.
Football first, and Gillingham will be hoping to make it back-to-back wins in League 2 this weekend. They're travelling to take on MK Dons after beating Salford City last time out. The home side are three places above the Gills in the table. Here's boss Mark Bonner.
MK are synonymous with a style, so I do think that whoever's in charge, they look similar. There's differences, obviously, with every manager. But if you could pair a manager with a team, it's probably the perfect pairing. Scott's gone in and the run of form since he's been there has been excellent. I think they are the form team. I think anyone who finishes above them will get promoted, because I do think they'll be right at the top of it, and I think they'll strengthen again in January and only get better and stronger as they go. So certainly one of the favourites and one of the strongest teams, I think. One, because of the identity that they've got, and that's really paired nicely with the manager, and he hasn't really got all of maybe the squad that he'll want yet. So there's a good fight there for people trying to be part of it. But they're in good form, scoring lots of goals. I was at the game, whatever midweek it was, when they played Chesterfield, which, to be fair, was a really interesting game to go to for about 25 minutes until they were 2-0 up and Chesterfield had one sent off. And then it became a game that was like a little bit unrealistic to watch and learn too much from. But yeah, possession-based team, got direct threats, got good runners in the team. Nemanja, the right wing back, really creative one, boy from Notts County last season. Alex Gilby's on flames at the moment in terms of forward runs and scoring goals. Scott Hogan's excellent centre forward with real pedigree that's done great for them. They've got a number of options. You know, Kelly and Maguire, who got promoted with Scott at Crawley last year, that can understand his way quite quickly. So I think there's lots to admire about their team, lots to be mindful of in our game against them, but also areas where we feel like if we're brilliant, we can cause them problems too. So it will be an interesting challenge. The game will look very different, I'm sure, to the one that was here last weekend. That's just the nature of it. But we've got one or two games we've played this year that we can draw on for similar experiences, I think.
Meanwhile, the club have confirmed striker Joe Gabbodi will miss this weekend's match. The 19-year-old suffered concussion in last weekend's win. The club says he has to follow a 12-day return-to-play protocol and is expected to be available for their match next Friday. Now, a Kent racing driver has been telling us how his successful season could inspire other disabled athletes. Dom Shaw competes for Team Brit, the world's only competitive group of all disabled racers. They've won their class at the Brit Car Championship after going up against abled-bodied drivers. The 32-year-old from Chatham is paralysed from the knee down, but says that hasn't held him back. I've been talking to Dom about how their cars are modified.
Team Brit have made their own world-leading hand controls. So where you would expect your gear changes to be, your flappy paddles, that is where our accelerator and our brake is. So we have an accelerator on the right-hand side and a brake on the left, and then we can change gear by our thumbs. So we don't have to take our hands off the steering wheel at any point. And that means that we're at no disadvantage to any of our competitors while we're racing. It's like we're leaving our disability behind.
No, I was reading in the press release as well, but this was your first season sort of racing in this championship. How has it gone for you? How has it ended? How did you find it?
It's been absolutely amazing. We've been winning races, and we actually managed to win the championship in our class as well. So that was very unexpected, but felt very rewarding at the same time.
And I understand that you've also been nominated for a Medway Sports Award.
I have, yes. That will be on Friday. We don't know the result, so we find out when we're there. I've been nominated.
Does it feel a bit surreal that obviously you're a big fan of racing and now you've been nominated for a racing award? I mean, it must just feel incredible.
It does. Again, very unexpected. We're here to show that just because you're disabled doesn't mean you can't compete in motorsport, and it doesn't mean that you can't participate in certain sports. So we're here to raise awareness as well. And by doing these sorts of things, it hopefully will get the recognition it deserves.
Do you think that at the moment there are enough pathways and opportunities for people with disabilities to get into racing or any other sport?
I think there are more now. Like I say, Team Brit are the only team of all disabled racing drivers at the moment. But the barriers, you know, Team Brit are working to make sure that those barriers come down, so that there's less in the way of people who want to compete in motorsport.
And are you already thinking ahead to next season? Is it onward and upward, hopefully take home another championship?
Yeah, so now that I've done one, I just want to continue racing. So my sights now are on 2025, as long as I can raise sponsorship for the next year. So Team Brit isn't a charity. Every single driver needs to fund their own racing. So yeah, and I am currently looking for sponsors. So if anyone is interested in getting involved in motorsport, please do feel to contact me.
He's been nominated for a prize at today's Medway Sports Awards. Briefly to cricket, Kent Zach Crawley is due to open the batting for England in their final test match against New Zealand. The tourists have already won the series. That's all from us today and for the week. Thank you ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.